John chapter 11. It's a long chapter, and has 6 points. No sub-points, just thoughts that the Lord spoke to me about. So I'll just bam, 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 bam. Most of us know the story. But I want us to see a thought tonight that I believe all of us could glean from. Verse 14. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. That's bad news. Plainly, he's dead. Look at verse 15. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there. Now this jumped out at me. I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. To the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Let the church say amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Why would he say that? I'm glad for your sake I wasn't there. Now think about this. As best as we can tell scripture, whenever Jesus showed up places, people didn't die. Look at the Bible. At least while he was on earth. So the deduction from this statement is this. If I'd been there, he would not have died. Now, I still believe that if Jesus had been in Bethany, the disciples would have seen a miracle, but a lesser one. If Jesus had shown up in Bethany, they would have seen him like they had seen him before, heal somebody that was sick. But because Jesus chose not to be there, they ended up seeing him raise somebody that was dead. Now, I want you to think about this for a few moments tonight. Because all of us have things that happen in our lives that are bad. Trials, tribulations, difficulties, tough times. And every single one of us knows that God Almighty could stop those things from happening with no effort at all. Nothing ever happens in your life because God couldn't stop it. Nobody ever did anything to you that God couldn't get there to stop. No problem have you ever had that God could not solve. No question have you ever faced that God could not answer. No difficulty that God could not alleviate. No sickness that God could not heal. No loved one that God could not save. Yet he lets bad stuff happen. And he's not saying, I'm glad for your sakes that something bad happened. Here's what he's saying. I'm glad for your sakes that even though something bad happened, you're going to see something better happen as a result of it. Now, I want you to write this down in your notes for lack of better titles. Write this down. When a setback is a set up for a comeback. When a setback is a set up for a comeback. Now, Pastor, why are you saying this? Because somebody in the building right now is frowning over something bad that's happening. And I'm telling you, the bad thing that's happening is not the end of it for God and you in this situation. Because God's going to let you see something that you wouldn't see. He's going to let you see something good. If you hadn't first seen something bad, you wouldn't be able to see something good. By the way, if something bad hadn't happened, something as bad hadn't happened like it did, you would have still seen something good. But because something bad happened, you're going to see something better. You're going to see something better. Write down these bullets real quick and see if they'll help you. What good is going to happen? What comeback is going to happen out of that setback? Number one, single-minded praise. The Bible said, verse 4, this sickness is not unto death before the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Listen to me now. When God shows up in his own timing, when something bad is happening, I'll tell you what he's trying to do. He's trying to get the glory off of somebody else's plate. He's trying to get the praise off of man. He's trying to get the credit off of the doctors. He's trying to get the celebration from somebody else. And he's trying to direct the praise back to Almighty God. Number two, not only single-minded praise, submissions priority. Now watch Jesus. Right after he found out that Lazarus was sick, they got word to Jesus. The Bible says that he hung around longer. Verse 6. He loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Verse 5. But verse 6. He heard Lazarus was sick and stayed in the same place 2 days. Have you ever looked at your watch and somehow, either with these words or in your spirit, looked up to heaven, to God, to say, what are you waiting for? If you can solve it, if you can change it, what's the holdup? Why wouldn't Jesus leave right away? It seems, verse 5, he loved Mary, he loved Martha, he loved Lazarus. It seems if he heard that his friend was sick and his sisters were in need, it seems he dropped everything he was doing and rushed to Bethany. And instead, he stayed 2 days. And not only did he stay 2 days, then he says to the disciples, let's go to Judea. Lord, we don't understand. There in Judea, the Jews are trying to stone you. Look at verse 12, verse 9. He says, are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. Verse 10. But if he walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. Now, why aren't you saying submission's priority? Here's what Jesus was trying to get them to understand. I know that bad things are happening. I know that unfavorable things have occurred in people's lives. But just because bad things happen doesn't mean we're supposed to get off the course that God has for our lives. Those 12 hours of daylight represent the time that God has allotted for you to do what God wants you to do. Here's what he's saying. If you walk in the daylight, in other words, if you are where God wants you to be, you don't have to worry about stumbling. You don't have to worry about falling. You don't have to worry about messing up God. Why do you have these bad things happening in my life? To see if you're going to stay on course. To teach you that submission is not only a priority on good days, it's a priority on bad days too. You know what that means? You have a bad week, you still come to church. You have a rough month, you still tithe. Come on. You have a long day, you still get out of gospel track. Amen. People get on your nerves, you still lift up the mighty name of Jesus. Why? Because God still has light for you to walk in. And here's what Jesus was saying. I know what's happening all there in Bethany, and I could have gone there right away, but God has something for me to do right now. And I'm telling you, in the midst of your valley, God's got something for you to do right now. Number three, a sovereign perspective. A sovereign perspective. Verse number 11. Our friend Lazarus sleepeth. Verse 12. If he sleep, he shall do well. Now, weren't the disciples almost customarily on the wrong page? When he said sleep, they thought sleep. And the truth of the matter is, he wasn't referring to sleep. He was referring to death. Now, can I tell you why God sometimes has to let bad things happen? Because he has to teach us that the way we think is not the way he thinks. And sometimes God has to show us that what seems like deathly to us is just sleep to him. Now, he wasn't saying that Lazarus wasn't dead. He was simply saying that in the mind of an all-powerful God, to us, death means it's over. But to God, it wasn't over. Because as soon as he got there, Lazarus was going to get up, and I'd like to tell you what's late to us is on time to God. Thomas, you know why this needed to happen? Because you need to realize I don't work on your timetable. And sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, it's not until God lets bad things happen in our lives that we begin to realize His ways are above our ways. We're in the business of calling it, it's all over. Listen to me. We start getting on the phone and telling people, oh, I'm having a bad day. Nothing's going to happen. It's over. Sing the blues. Play taps. I mean, the devil won. And we get to worrying and we get to fretting and we get to whining and we get to cry. I'm not belittling your problems. I'm not telling you that circumstances don't hit you in an emotional way. I'm not telling you that you should not be a human being. I'm not telling you that there's not a time to mourn. I'm just simply telling you, when we see the end, God sees there's more after that. And God is saying, you're ready for a funeral. I'm ready to wake him up from a nap. Wow. Number four, supernatural power. God's going to get there and call Lazarus back to life. Now, can I ask you a question? I know this is deep. How are you going to see resurrection if you never see somebody die? Now, wait a minute. All this week, you've been complaining to God about what's happening in your life you don't like. And God, I don't know why I got that call. And I don't know why I'm in this predicament. And I don't know why you let my boss do that to me. And I don't know why my family's in this turmoil. And I don't know why I got to go through this again. And I don't know why this is the news that the doctor came back and said. And I don't know why I looked at my account. And I don't know why this situation is happening in my life. Could I ask you a question? How you going to meet the storm chaser if you never go through a storm? How you going to meet the healer if you never get sick? How you going to wipe away your tears if you never cry? How you going to pick your head up if it never sinks down? How's he going to carry you if you never get too weak? How are you going to learn his strength is perfect until you learn your strength runs out? Instead of complaining about the valley, thank God that the valley is a chance for you to find out just how powerful he is. Wow. I am glad for your sakes. What's he saying to the boys? I want you to see a resurrection. Please, listen to me, please. This was not a common visual. They'd seen five loaves, two fish feed 5,000. They'd seen a raging storm be calmed with a few words. They'd seen lepers cleansed. They'd seen debtors forgiven. They'd seen blind seeing. They'd seen deaf hearing. They'd seen lame walking. He's about to do the last major miracle before he is crucified on the cross. And when you culminate all the miracles together, they've seen a lot about God, but they've never seen God take a man who'd been dead 4 days and call him back to life. No wonder he said, I'm glad I wasn't there. Travel down memory lane and tell me in your life when you've seen the most of God's power. I'll tell you when. When things went the worst. You wouldn't have picked them to happen, but you wouldn't have been able to see God do what he does best unless they did. Supernatural power. Two more. Strengthened persuasion. Go back to our text verse and listen to the statement. I'm glad for your sakes, verse number 15, that I was not there. Next words, to the intent that ye may what? Believe. Now, it wasn't that the disciples didn't believe. It was that they needed to believe more. It wasn't that they had no faith. It was that they needed more faith. It wasn't that their faith was non-existent. It was that their faith needed to be strengthened. Could I ask you a question? Could your faith use some strengthening? Could your faith use some, could my faith use some growing? Listen to me. You're going to have to be honest with yourself. Your faith grew the most, not in triumph, but in trial. And yet it shows up and the first thing we're thinking is, God, why don't you fix it right away? Why don't you answer as soon as I prayed? Why didn't you heal as soon as I got sick?
Why didn't you solve it as soon as the problem showed up? Why didn't you wipe it away as soon as it surfaced in my life? God, you know I don't need this right now. You know that I've got too much on my plate right now. You know life would be a whole lot easier if you just let this thing go away right away. Could I tell you something, my friend? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For without faith, it is impossible. Somebody say impossible. Impossible to please God. For he that believeth in him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This is scripture now. Whatsoever is not of faith is a sin. Now the just shall live by faith. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Listen to me. One bad situation may increase your faith, but the increasing of your faith will help every situation. Will you listen to me? One bad situation can increase your faith, but the increasing of your faith will help you in every situation. Last reason. Saved people. God wants to get somebody saved. Look at the passage here. Loose him and let him go. That's 44. Lazarus, come forth. That's 43. Look at 45. Many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Come on now. They showed up for a funeral and they left with a new birth. I can't tell you how many times I have witnessed tragedy when it served as the very segue for somebody's salvation. I'm glad. Hey, fellas, I'm glad. I could have rushed over there. And listen, to Jesus, it was no different. Lazarus was going to live either way. You hear me now? So he ain't doing it for him, and he ain't doing it for Lazarus. Lazarus and Jesus were two people in this story that were going to win whether he went right away or whether he went 4 days later. They were both fine. Jesus knew he was going to live. Lazarus was dead, and he know nothing. But listen to me now. Lazarus was going to live if Jesus got there and never die, or he was going to be raised again after he died once Jesus got there. For Lazarus and Jesus, it was fine. Listen to me now. But sometimes the trial is not for the person in the trial. It's for the witnesses. It's for the wife caring for her husband. It's for the loved ones. It's for the church. I'm glad. Kind of cold, isn't it? Seems like it. Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad. I mean, that's the sequence of the verses. Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad. Glad why? For your sake. To the intent that you believe. You know, folks, this Christian life is a whole lot bigger than you and I. And sometimes we hear news and we rush to conclusions because bad news to us always means bad things. Could I remind you of someone that sits above the bad news? And that he's reminding you that bad news doesn't change good God. And all of us are dealing with bad news in some area of our life. And we're going to hear some more this week. I mean, we live in America. We live in a jaded world. I hear people say all the time, they don't know God. I don't understand how a God could be so loving and let all this bad stuff happen. Listen to me. The bad stuff is happening because mankind chose sin. And sin is resulting in turmoil and killing and hatred and racism and bigotry and murder and all of this nonsense. And because the devil, lowercase g, is running around blinding people's minds, sin is going to be off the charts until the truth trumpet sounds one day, God gets us out of here, 7-year tribulation period, 1,000-year millennial reign, and then forever and ever, we're going to live in a new heaven and a new earth. Devil locked up, sinners cast into the lake of fire. Every day's going to be a good day. Sin nature gone, made again like the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll never have a bad day because the world will be rid of sin and ruled by a sinless Savior.
But between now and then, we're going to have to deal with bad stuff. Things that happen to people that we love. Trials in our life that we wouldn't plan. Difficulties that surface that we didn't ask for. And our immediate responses. You know I'm suffering. You know I'm hurt. You know you hurt. You knew what the doctor said before he told me. What are you waiting for? I'm glad. For your sake, that I wasn't there to fix it the way you wanted me to fix it, to the intent that you believe, because there's something you're going to see out of this bad situation that's going to remind you I'm still a good God.
Amen.
And that even setbacks can be set ups for comebacks. Father, thank you. For somebody tonight that's going through it and asking questions like the disciples. Why are we still here? And for heaven's sake, I mean, why can't you fix it now, God? And you've got a plan. It's bigger than us. Help us. Please help us. In Jesus' name, amen.